This is Booth 46, live from Pederino's. Not just in the heart of the Loop, but the heart of the Loop. Surrounded by theater, culture, and Chicago's movers and shakers. Each episode brings you, as Irv Kupcinet used to say,
the lively art of conversation.
Local vibes, real conversations, and fresh ideas for experiencing the city. So pull up a chair, lean in, and let's dive into the stories that shape Chicago.
It's another Booth 46 from Pederino's Restaurant, and I'm so proud to say Ife Butler is here. Woo! Okay, I've never had a guest scream louder than the audience screams. For yourself!
That's right, darling.
It is, I will tell you, what I said is true. It is an honor to have you here. You are, and you are, an iconic Chicago actress. But
thank
I'm going to start off insulting you.
Okay.
How many years have you been doing this?
48.
Amazing. That deserves a round of applause in itself.
That does.
It does, because in this industry, being 48 hours is an achievement.
Yes, absolutely.
48, I assume you mean years, not days.
Yes,
is really incredible. Of all the productions that you've done, and we're going to talk about the production that you're in right now at the Goodman Theater in a moment, what is the one, if you could say there's one that matters most to me, what would it be?
See, now, after 48 years, you can't just pick this, like, one. I mean, there's different ones. I mean, I love doing Mama Rose in Gypsy, but then I love doing Dinah Washington in Dinah Was. But then I love, you know, there's so many of them. But then I love doing Nakarima Society here at the Goodman. There's so many. There's just so many.
Do you think you broke ground? Let me rephrase that, because I know you have. For other actresses that look like you.
Yes.
That have followed you.
Yes.
Along the way.
Yes. I can honestly say I was the first black woman to do a musical in Chicago that was non-traditional. And that was Hello Dolly at Drury Lane South, which was the Martinique back in the day.
Now,
and I was the first one.
At that point, was Pearl Bailey already doing this on stage?
Pardon me?
Was Pearl Bailey already doing Hello Dolly?
Yes, she had done it by then.
Okay.
But you in were Chicago.
In Chicago. So did was
so
there,
that's what we're talking about.
Was, yeah, I understand. And was there pushback?
Oh, major pushback.
Really? Talk
major,
about that.
Major, major pushback. I remember one night, John Lazar, who recently just passed, when I was at Drury Lane South, and you know, that was the old Martinique, and it was the dinner theater.
Yes.
So, you know, it was in the round.
Was there many times.
On 95th
yep.
and Western. And I remember doing Hello, Don. They had this huge life-size poster of me outside, and people could see me. And I was so excited that he had put the staircase. He took out part of the seating to put a staircase in. I forego some of my salary to make sure I had everybody had the proper gowns and all of this. And it was a really, really big deal, and it was a multicultural cast. That was very unusual in Chicago.
At
we're talking
time.
About Chicago at that
well,
time.
Well, anywhere at that time.
And it, yes, at that
yeah,
time.
Yeah.
And I remember coming out one night, and I'm so excited, and I go, they're singing, Dolly, Dolly, she's the one. And I pop up, and I go, hi, I'm Dolly, Dolly Levi. And a man in the center of the theater stood up and said, I didn't pay my money to see no N playing Dolly.
What the heck?
Well, how did shocking time.
And you heard it.
Oh, I heard it.
And what did you respond or keep going?
I kept going, but everybody else was frozen.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And I just kept going, and I just kept... And I love Johnny Lazar because he and his brother dragged that man up over the seats at the Martinique. And, you know, we're talking about the south side of Chicago. And they are Italian. Dragged them outside, and I don't know what happened to him after that point.
He was never heard
just
of
to
again.
Say, he disappeared from the theater.
There was one role that you said, and I'm thinking I know what that role is, but I'm afraid to say because I could be wrong, where you said you would sell your grandchild to do the role. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that was Gypsy.
Uh-huh. And did you get the role? And do you have one less grandchild as a result?
No, he's still around. But, yeah, it was when I did Mama Rose because outside, no one had never been a black Mama Rose. Part of that was because of the estate. And so when we did it at Porchlight a few years ago, it was an absolute dream. And then they went to Broadway and stole our idea and did it there about a year or so ago.
Okay, so right now, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, an August Wilson show, a revival show of sorts?
Yes.
Through May 3rd at the Goodman Theater. Had you done August Wilson before?
Yes.
That doesn't come out right, does it? Let me rephrase that. Have you done a show
I've done
by...
a lot before, so it doesn't
matter. It doesn't matter. Well, we've got to spill the tea.
Okay.
That's a different podcast for another time. All right, so let's... What appealed to you about doing that?
August Wilson, because he was such an amazing writer.
Let's talk about why for people who may not know.
Pardon me?
Let's talk about why. There may be some people who may not know.
August Wilson was an American poet as well as playwright who wrote a cycle of plays that went through the century about Black American families and history in America.
It began at one time?
Right. 20s, 1800, it went on 20s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and then I think it stopped in the 90s.
I think so too.
10 in the cycle.
Yeah, but that... And the Goodman has done all of those. Yes.
The Goodman has. And August Wilson was an intricate part of the Goodman in a lot of those processes when he was here.
What made his words and his stories special for you?
Because they're real talk. It's real people telling about real life situations. And it's American situations.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone can relate to August Wilson. He doesn't cover it up. He doesn't try to make it glamorous. It is what it is. And I think that's why it resonates so well with people.
Now,
he's just as funny as it is tragic.
You can do comedy. Comedy easier or tougher than the tragic?
Yes.
Well,
and
which?
That's what he was great at.
But which, okay, as an actress, doing comedy, is that easier or more challenging than drama?
I think comedy is more challenging.
Tell me. Everyone says that. Anyone.
Timing.
Timing.
It's about timing.
But what does that mean?
That means that if you don't get that joke at the right time or take that breath at the right time or turn your arm or do those threes. You know, things are funnier when they're done in threes.
Explain what that... I've heard that. So explain what that means.
Well, if you're doing a physical action on stage, like looking at someone, you can look at them once and that's okay. But if you go...
That's funny.
The triple take is always funnier.
Or the
threes.
Or the spit take.
The spit take. Right.
And again, it's got to come out
it's
in threes.
It's got to come out, right. It's got to go poof, 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 right.
Yeah. What is it about threes? Do you have any idea?
I don't know. It's
but
just
it works.
The magic number. And it works every time.
Yeah.
If your timing is correct.
Do you teach timing or is that something you're born
with?
You got
to get it in there. It's something that becomes, it's got to be a part of you. That's why some people are just naturally funny.
You've got another upcoming... You're so busy. You have another upcoming show after Ma Rainey's Black Bottom at the Goodman, which is, by the way, been extended before it starts. That's amazing.
Yes.
Through May 3rd. And that show is what?
Well, I'm going to go... You know, I direct now, too. So I'm going to go down to Florida, direct a show called Marie and Rosetta. But then when I come back to Chicago, I'm doing a piece... at Northlight in their new space next season called Pearls in the House, which is the story of Pearl Bailey.
I want to hear about that because I think there are so many people who have no idea who we're talking about.
Well, Pearl Bailey, as you know, was the first Black woman to do the role of
Dolly.
Dolly Levi.
But she was also
on Broadway and on the national tour. And she did so many. She's the first Black woman to have her own
TV.
Television show.
Yeah.
Nationally television show.
Yep.
And she was a lot of things that people don't know about her.
Tell me.
One, she was a Republican. Two, she performed for every Republican president from Eisenhower all the way to Bush.
Really?
Yes.
Do you know why she felt the way she did politically?
Because she loved extremely powerful men. And in her era of growing up, her family was Republican. And so that's what she knew. And so she stuck by that. And there was a power she loved. I mean, this was a woman that could get Anwar Sadat to do things that he wouldn't do with his wife.
What does
like
she mean
take
by
his
that? Tell me.
Like take his shoes off and, you know, and wade in the river.
Really?
He didn't do that. Dance at the White House. He never, you know. They don't do that. They don't dance in public. She got him to dance and pop. She got Ronald Reagan to bring her a chair. For me, she said, Ronnie, get up and bring me that chair you got. He got up. And they were like, Mr. President, no, if Pearl needs a chair, I'll get it for her. He brought it to her so she could sit down. And then she said, I really like this chair. He said, take it home.
The thing
she had an office at the White House. She performed at the White House more than any other entertainer.
I did not know that. And yes, tell me about the office.
Yeah, it was actually on the first level because she didn't want to climb stairs. And somebody told her that this was the maid's office. She said, no, this is my office now. She'll have to find someplace else. Because when I come see Nancy and Ronnie, I want to be able to just be right here in the house. And so she was. And as Nixon was going through Watergate, he would call her. She would come to the White House, and she would get him to play the piano while she sang. Because Nixon could play the piano. All this is footage. She sang for Eisenhower and Mamie. These were her friends. They loved her. She went to China with Kissinger. She was the ambassador of love. She was the only ambassador in this country that was called the ambassador of love and was at the United Nations and had a voice on the panel.
Okay, the last part about the ambassador, that I knew about.
Right.
But nothing else you've said I've ever heard before.
Yes.
This is fascinating.
Yes.
So the thing also about Pearl Bailey that I've thought, and you tell me, yes, there was extraordinary talent there, but she wasn't at all a great dancer.
No.
She wasn't at all a great singer.
No.
It was just the power of her personality.
Yes, absolutely. Totally. Just like Ma Rainey.
Speaking of which. So tell us the story of Ma Rainey.
Ma Rainey was the original blues singer. She was the one that people credit with the blues, the birth of the blues as a singer. And she came to Chicago in this particular play. She comes to Chicago for a recording session, which she came to Chicago to record her music. And we find her on an afternoon with her band and her manager and a recording studio with her nephew and a date she has. And we're experiencing the power of Ma Rainey. She was a woman that was extremely powerful in 1927. She had her own car. She had her own money. She had her own home. She was doing things that nobody else was doing, and especially a black woman in America in 1927. And she had no fear of men and no fear of powerful men.
And one more thing, I think, no fear of saying no.
Right. All the time.
Yeah.
She had no fear of that.
So isn't there a Coca-Cola story of something?
Absolutely. She wouldn't sing without the Coca-Cola.
Tell me.
She just wouldn't do it. So if you didn't have Coke, that was the end of the session. She was going home, and a lot of times she would walk out, be in her car, and they'd be like, Ma, just give me 5 minutes. We're going to get you a Coke. She said, you got exactly 1 minute, and I'm out.
In some ways, is there
But that's when Coca-Cola was Coca-Cola.
What do you mean?
It still had Coke in it.
I'm not sure what you're saying.
The cola? Yeah. Coke. You know there was Coke. Was it
really?
Coke? Yes. That's why they banned it.
I had no... You're teaching me so much. I could get continuing college education credit for this conversation. Are in some ways, is there a parallel between Ma Rainey and Pearl Bailey?
Absolutely. Women of power that did not walk in fear.
And are those parts that appeal to you?
Yes.
Because are you that?
I don't walk in fear.
I sense that.
Because I don't think it's useful.
Yeah. Do you think that...
I don't think it's useful.
Do you think there was...
I can be afraid sometimes, but never fearful.
What is the
difference? I don't fear. I think you can be afraid sometimes that, you know, my stomach gets a little tick when I'm getting ready to go on stage, and that gives me a little... I'm like, ooh, I'm afraid that might do something. I hope this turns out well.
I hope there is a ladies' room near the
nearby.
Wing. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Do you still get nervous before you go
Absolutely.
On?
Absolutely.
Is that a good thing?
Very good.
You know what's coming now? You've been to this restaurant before many times.
Yes, I have. I know Mark.
Yep. Everybody knows Mark. And everyone knows this is the most important thing. Peppermint ice cream at Pettorino's.
That's what you gotta have.
Have you had it before?
Yes, I have.
And are you going to have it now?
I'm going to have a little bit because I got to sing.
Oh.
Yeah, I got a show tonight.
Oh.
I got a show to do.
That's good. Can I talk for a minute here? About Pettorino's. Mouth-watering Italian dining in Chicago's downtown theater district. It's always Pettorino's. You could join them for summer sips in the loop from 2 to 5 and 8 p.m. till closing. And they have live jazz music here as well. You can eat al fresco outside. The weather is warming up in Chicago. And you can take your dog with you. Is that exciting?
I'm eating ice cream. Please don't bother me.
It's exciting. The doors open so you can listen outside to the music as well. And as I said, you can bring your dog as well. And next door is the Pasticceria, where you can get all sorts of bites.
I love it. You know, that's good.
It is.
I go there for breakfast sometimes.
Exactly. It's like going to France.
My goodness.
But you don't have to go as far.
I know. They have great breakfast sandwiches, too.
I totally agree. Thank you for helping me out with the commercial. So, I need to ask you some questions that we ask everyone. What is the best job you've ever had?
The best job I ever had was working for Barry Manilow.
All right.
Look at him. He's shocked. He's like,
talk to me.
What? Barry Manilow.
Talk to me. Girl, explain.
I worked with Barry Manilow.
Were you a harlot?
No, I was not a harlot. he did a show called Could It Be Magic here in Chicago at the Mercury Theater.
Yes.
And he was an amazing boss. If he had a suite, you had a suite. If he had a limousine, you had a limousine. Paid you very well. He would give us his black card and say, go shop. Buy something. I'm like, what's my limit? He said, it doesn't matter. Good boss.
And what did you do in the show?
I sang. We all sang.
As a background?
No. We sang his song. The show that he has now in Vegas and touring is the show we developed at the Mercury Theater right here in Chicago in 2001.
What was your favorite Barry Manilow song?
The song that he wrote for me along with Barbra Streisand, the arrangement was written by he and Barbra Streisand, was When Can I See You Again?
Yes!
New England.
I can't think of the name of the song. Something about New England.
You know what
Nights.
I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying.
Yes.
And that was written...
Well, he wrote it already, but when he rearranged it...
It was for you.
...for this tour, he did it with this. He wrote it for me.
And that was the best
job? We wrote it along with Barbra Streisand. Barbra Streisand was on the phone giving me instruction, and I go to Barry, who is that? He goes, oh, my son, did I not introduce you? I said, no, who is it? Who am I? Who's that giving... He says, Babs, this is Ife Butler. Ife, this is Barbra Streisand. I was like,
wow.
I couldn't even speak after that.
Wow.
Yeah, so
and
he was a great boss.
Did you take her notes?
Oh, who doesn't take Barbra Streisand's notes?
And were they helpful?
Weekend in New England, that's the name
of the song. Thank you so much. And was that helpful?
Extremely helpful.
Her notes, yeah.
Extremely helpful.
What is the worst job you've ever had?
I did a show in Chicago.
Uh-oh.
Called Unspeakable.
And it was?
Yes, we don't even want to talk about it.
What makes Ife Butler the happiest?
My family. They make me the most happy. Just being around my family, my husband, my grandkids, my children, just family, my extended family. Mm. My family.
All your grandkids?
Yes.
Not even the one you sold to get
the
role?
Not the one I tried to sell, but all of them.
And what do you most appreciate, most like about the city?
The people, the food, and there's so much. But the people and the food. And the skyline when you fly into Chicago. Mm. I've traveled extensively. There's no city to see a skyline when you come into Chicago like the Chicago skyline. It is forever, and it's amazing, and it's gorgeous, and it makes my heart warm every time I come back home.
One more question for you. You have, as you mentioned, performed all over the world.
Here's another one of my bosses, Harry Lennox.
Harry Lennox just walked in.
Yeah.
Yes. So you performed all over the world.
Yes.
Are Chicago audiences any different in any way?
I love Chicago audiences because they're truthful.
Explain what you mean.
They're honest. You know, you can't sell Chicago audiences some crap. You can do it in New York. You can do it in a lot of places.
You can in New York?
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Because they want to be liked. Mm. Chicago audiences go boo if you're bad. And when you're good, they let you know it. That's why I love the people of Chicago.
I love Ife Butler. Chicago
I love
loves
you.
Ife Butler. And you love the ice cream that you were said you're going
to
only
you're
have.
Really mean. You're really mean to give me that ice cream.
I made her
you're
eat
really
it.
Really mean. That was mean.
But we love you.
I
Ife
love
Butler,
you.
Thank you so much for joining us. Ife Butler.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
That's a wrap from Booth 46 of Pederino's, where the loop comes to life. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, keep the conversation going and keep exploring Chicago.